On Before the Bestseller, we talk with our favorite authors about the books they wrote and the stories behind how those books made it big. I'm your host, Alex Straffy, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. The Big Leap sells more copies every year, and so I wanted to learn from Gay about how to write a book that does just that, along with diving deeper into his author career. So in this episode, we go from talking about the content of his books, and specifically The Big Leap, to actually bringing Gay back on the show, where we dive into his author career, and the author career really of one of the greatest authors of all time, along with the marketing that helped him get there. So let's welcome Gay Hendricks back onto the show.
Gay Hendricks, thank you so much for coming back on this time to teach all those out there who have a message and who want to have an impact on the world with a book, how they might be able to follow in your footsteps, use some of the tools and the information that you know, you're aware of and get their message out there. So thank you so much for coming back on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I think I saw 1975 as the first year you released a book. Why'd you start writing? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I wrote it in 1973, just as I was finishing graduate school on a borrowed typewriter in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's exciting.
And and it came out in 1975. And I happen to remember that because I was in my first year of being a professor at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs, where I joined the counseling psychology department and was happily there for 21 years. I was standing at where we all got our mail when I opened the package, and there was the first copy of the book, my very first book. And I remember standing there dazed, and a colleague of mine came up and, you know, joined the conversation. And in fact, he made a kind of a disparaging comment about it, which is true of universities. Nobody ever says good on you or congratulations there. It's always, oh, wow, you got away with something, you know. But anyway, he looked at my book was a book of awareness activities for children. And so it was designed to be small, not a heavy textbook. And he looked at its small size and said, oh, that would have made a nice chapter in my book.
Of course.
Those are moments where you want to strangle another professor. But fortunately, most people hold back.
What an academic comment, if I've ever heard one. Why did you start writing books? And how did that first book do? Like, did you sell a lot of copies?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was magic. Well, see, I think the secret, it's almost like I've written 50 books now, about 13 mystery novels and 37 or 8 self-help book and other psychology books. Four or five of them have been big bestsellers. And the rest have done okay, but haven't big bestsellers. My book, The Centering Book, which that came out in 75, became a bestseller in a really cool way. It was from the heart, for starters, and it came out of me sitting in my daughter's kindergarten and first grade classroom, assisting in there and also just observing, because I was working on my PhD and I was looking at different kinds of situations and counseling techniques for little kids and things like that. So in addition to just liking to hang out in my daughter's classroom, it was good academic work for me because we were there on the Stanford campus at the time. She went to school there on the Stanford campus at the elementary school. And so it was from the heart. I saw that the teacher spent an inordinate amount of time, wasted time, herding the kids around from place to place and getting them settled after recess, getting kind of them back in their bodies. And so I wrote this little book, just kind of in my spare time, called The Centering Book, of activities designed for my daughter's classroom. And so I got to test them out there and that kind of thing. So it was a kind of a writer's dream. I've always loved writing ever since I was a kid. My mom was a newspaper columnist, so I grew up around somebody hammering on an old Underwood typewriter trying to hit a deadline. So it was kind of in my blood, you might say. And so I wrote this little book, and it came out, and it got selected by an education book club. And suddenly, whoosh, 50,000 of them went out the door. And I got to tell you, I was a grad student living on $900 a quarter, which if your math is compromised, is 300 bucks a month. And so I was living on peanut butter and saltines. And I got an $800 advance for the book, which basically changed my life. You know, I was like, I'd get an extra quarter's money to live on. But then when I got my first royalty check, I became a dedicated writer for life because a book that had been written a couple of years ago, suddenly, you know, money starts coming in from it. And you see the idea of, wow, I can do something. And then it continued to have a living impact out there and is good for all parties. The publisher loves it. I love it. The end customer, the reader loves it. So I just got hooked on the whole thing of getting the word out to people. And I just kept writing books. And then in 1980, when I met my wife, Katie, we just finished our 40th wedding anniversary. We've been together 42 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We wrote a book called Conscious Loving together after we'd been together about 8 years. We put all the things we were doing in our couples work into a book, and it got picked up, and Oprah invited us onto her show. And that really changed everything because, like, we went from selling maybe 10,000 copies a month to suddenly selling 10,000 an hour. And that really, if you count up the number of hours in a day, it doesn't take many days of that to change your life. And so one thing that happened after that, we were on other times later, but that first one was really quite life-changing because we just got to see the impact of media. Because for us, a book tour was going out in my VW bus and half the time sleeping in the VW bus outside the TV station so we could be on the 6 a.m. show, you know, that kind of thing. That was PR. And that's actually how I did my first book tour, was a bunch of books in the back of a VW bus. And this was in my pre-Katie days. And so my girlfriend and I would go out on a book tour to someplace. And anyway, it was a lot of fun and everything, but it's not a way to move a lot of books. But, you know, 1 hour on Oprah, whoosh, suddenly everything changes.
Changes everything. Taking a step back there real quick, you said you were elected by the, I believe it was like the educational club or some sort of organization where all of a sudden 50,000 copies went out the door. Did you apply for that? Or how did they come to you?
Well, every big publisher, this was at the time called Prentice Hall, which later became a part of Simon Schuster. They have a whole big marketing department. And there's this whole thing, you know, auxiliary rights. So it's not just publishing the book, but it's selling a piece of the book to Parade Magazine or selling the book to a book club. And so they just happen to make a sales call, just like with Oprah. You know, millions of people try to get on Oprah, but for some reason, the stars lined up. They were looking for a relationship show. And our publicist actually booked us on Oprah with her first PR call of the morning. Wow. She had a whole list of shows and things she was going to pitch. And of course, Oprah was at the top of everything. And she made one call, booked us. We were out there 3 days later. So you just never know when stuff like that was going to happen. All you have to do is just keep, I think, expressing your vision, expressing what you're being called to do. Like I decided early on what my life purpose was when I was in my 30s. I made up a purpose, and the purpose is I expand every day in love, creativity, and abundance while I inspire other people to do the same. So my life purpose has a teaching element built into it. To complete my purpose, I have to be doing what I'm doing right now. So I'm talking about what I most love to talk about, and I'm doing it in a way that supports other people by giving them information.
That reminds me of the Master Key System. I forget the author of that, but there's a quote very similar to that one, and it's dedicating your life to that purpose. And it's good to hear that it can happen in your 30s, because I'm still in my 20s figuring out what I want to do in life. So
that's, sit down for an hour sometime, just put everything else away, leave your phone, three rooms away, and just meditate for an hour using that wonder question, like, what is the real purpose of my life? What am I really here to do? What is it that gives me the maximum amount of wisdom and understanding per time spent? Those are genius level questions. And the more you keep homing in on those, all you got to do is ask the right question and your life becomes the answer to the question.
Yeah. Speaking of going into asking the right question, I believe it was The Four Wishes that was your first New York Times bestseller. Is that correct?
Five Wishes. Yeah, that was your Four Agreements, but The Five Wishes.
The Five Wishes. And what did you do to sell so many copies of that to get on the New York Times bestseller list?
I think that was another book that the stars were just aligned with it. It came from my heart. However, it had a kind of a great blessing at the beginning. I happened to be sitting next at a dinner party one time with Neil Donald Walsh, who's the author of the Conversations with God series, a true master wordsmith, as well as just being a great all-around human being, and has sold millions and millions of books. And we both are allergic to small talk, Neil and I. And so we began telling each other important big stories of our lives. And I told him the story that's in Five Wishes. And he said, he turned to me and he said, "My God, man, have you written that in a book?" And I said, "No, you know, I never even thought about writing in a book." And he sort of grabbed me by the shoulders, you know, "You got to write that book." So I went back. And I sat down and I probably wrote it in a month and I sent it to Neil and he gave me this great quote for the cover and, you know, just like one thing after the other, just kind of lined up, boom, 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 boom. And so I think sometimes that kind of alignment gives it a force field. But I, in a specific sort of way, a big chain, Barnes and Noble, bought something like 40,000 of them to put out on their Christmas table because it was just coming into Christmas when the book was published. And so that was good. And it just happened to land at the right time and did well on their Christmas table. So, but you know, there's 40 others that haven't been huge bestsellers too, you know, that, you know, some sold 50,000 or some part. Like one of my favorite books didn't even sell 20,000 copies. And so you never can tell, but in my book, it's not so much about the numbers anymore. It's about whether I'm writing from my heart. Yeah. If I am, I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah. And let's talk about the biggest one, which is The Big Leap, released in 2019, which sells more and more copies every year. You just received your largest royalty check ever. Which is absurd because, I mean, how many years? I mean, 2019, I guess that's what, 13
years ago? No, it actually came out in 2009.
2009, yeah. So that's 13 years ago, correct? 13?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so 2009. So why does this book sell more and more copies every single year?
Well, jokingly, I'll say that it must be word of mouth because the publisher sure hasn't spent a nickel. Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of reasons, I think. First, word of mouth is incredibly important. And this is an age, too, where a lot of people are being entrepreneurs for the first time. And one thing The Big Leap is built on is giving entrepreneurs a real good model of how to operate. And Amen. So I get, you know, 9 out of 10 emails I get, you know, fan letters are from entrepreneurs saying, "Wow, you know, you gave me a kind of a guidebook for how to make it through these early years." And so that's what makes me happiest in a way, because, you know, if I can make some contribution that other people then use to better their lives, man, that's my dream come true.
Yeah. So right message at the right time. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I think so. Right message at the right time. Also, word of mouth. You know, I get people all the time that contact me and say, "You know, my friend called me the other day and said, 'Have you read The Big Leap?'" And I got a call from a big entertainment person in Hollywood a while back and said, "Did you know that Wonder Woman is reading The Big Leap?" You know, I love to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so cool. You released Genius Zone in June of last year. Yes. What did that launch look like? And what did your publisher do early on to get copies out the door for that book?
Yes, we kind of launched that in a kind of a gentle way, just because of what was going on in my life at the time. I had a whole bunch of other big projects going, so I didn't have as much time. The Genius Zone is the whipped cream and cherry on top of the Big Leap. Mm. If the Big Leap is a giant ice cream sundae, this is the stuff on the top, which really refines it. It's a sequel. It gives you some tools to stay in your zone of genius, as well as how to get in there. But the Big Leap is really about how to get to your zone of genius. And the new book, The Genius Zone, is about how to make subtle changes that open up more connection with that deep creative space inside. Mm, gotcha. And I've had so much fun teaching the principles in that book lately, because I've done a bunch of interviews like this and have really had a great time, and have done any number now of keynotes at conferences on the material in the Genius Zone. So I've been having a lot of fun, like I did it with a big conference the other day that had about 400 or 500 female entrepreneurs, a big organization around the world. And it was so great to see it. Hundreds of people making these shifts all at once. That's the reason I have such a hopeful view of the future. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, but and maybe it's because I live on a steady diet of good news. Every day I open my inbox and I get letters from people who are changing their lives. But I'll tell you, I think this is a time where if you have the slightest willingness to expand, you can really expand very quickly.
Yeah, I think we're going to end it there. I couldn't think of a more positive message to end it off on. And I didn't even think about that. You put a positive thing out into the world and you have like 100, you know, fingers pointing right back at you saying, here's positivity right back at you because of what you did to them. Gay Hendricks, thank you so much for being so generous with your time, talking to us about, you know, the success of your books, how you marketed them, and how you make them, you know, how you make that word of mouth spread. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Nice to be here.
Thank you for listening. I know there's many other things you could have been doing during this time, and I hope you found this episode incredibly useful for you and your journey. And if you did, or if you have any feedback, I would love to hear that in a review on Apple. That would be fantastic, or anywhere else that you are listening to this show. So thank you. And if you're the type of listener that is also an author or looking to be an author soon, feel free to email me at alex@advancedamazonads.com. That's alex@advancedamazonads.com. And I'll add you to our weekly newsletter where I send out all of the best marketing tips I've ever heard from authors that I've had on this show and many of the authors that we work with. So I look forward to hearing from you if that's something you'd find useful. And either way, I look forward to having you back for our next episode.